about what?
Yeah, exactly. We've already started recording, Doc. You're going to have to figure it out as we go along.
That's great.
Hello. Hey. Welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in technology, all the big stories that have been going on, and everything that all of these fantastic foursome want to discuss. So they're going to bring a story. I'm explaining the way that this works for Doc, because I asked him last week and then I didn't tell him anymore because the video was failing. This show is where everyone brings a story that they feel passionate about and they want to discuss and they want to talk about. And sometimes it gets into a heated debate with Kelly Gimont, and other times it doesn't. But as to the fact she's not here, then it should be fine. Joining me to discuss the big week in tech, the fantastic week in tech, top left, Doc Rock, back again, mate. You are a sucker for punishment, sir.
Yeah, cheers, man. I love it. It's good fun. And like this time, it's not as early. It's almost 10 o'clock here, so not bad at all. Not like the 4 o'clock thing we did last week.
No, that was pretty poor on my part, I have to say. And very impressive of you to get up that early to come on a show in England where it all fell apart within an hour of starting. I do apologize.
I'm normally up that early anyway to watch a good Man U game, so not that big a deal.
Are there any good Man U games?
Hey, easy watching.
I've never been threatened about football by an American. That's a first.
Hey, there's a couple of us out here, about 32 total. Me, a couple good friends, and the rest of the U.S. men's team.
The whole of Hawaii has love of Manchester United. Well, that'd be good. Very good. Next to him, from the Mac Observer, Dave Hamilton. Now, dude, it's been a while.
Well, I've never been on the show, so it's been infinitesimal.
It's been a while since you and I drank beer, is what I'm saying.
It's been a while since we drank beer. That's right. Months, even.
Last time I saw you, we were kissing passionately at San Francisco Airport, and you were going home. And I was going to LA.
I have no recollection whatsoever.
That's how good the party was.
And I'm happy for that.
And now, dude, you've got some music out, and I have to say, I've watched about half of them so far when I've had time, but I've got them queued up on the playlist on YouTube, and I am just slowly working my way through it every time I got a few minutes.
Yeah, Wally did a killer job, man. Well, you did too, right? I mean, you were part of
the... Well, I was one camera out of 11.
I know, 11? I don't think I've ever done anything in my life where there's been 11 cameras, like, you know, stitched together for one. So, no, it's awesome what Wally did. And, you know, the sound that night, the sound crew, and I you know, I wish I could go back and have a different sound crew because they were not the best we had ever had. But Wally did an amazing job pulling all the different sound sources together and making most of it sound great.
I've got to say, I mean, I'm a person who makes video for a living, and I've got to say hats off on the sound, because he's mixed probably about 4 or 5 sound sources there and normalized them reasonably well. And the clips between, the cuts between them, you can tell because you know he hasn't. But if you don't know he hasn't, I don't think you'd pick it.
I know he did. Yeah. It's awesome. The work that all of you did. And again, especially Wally, you know, taking the time to mix, not just the audio, but the video together too. It's awesome. It's so flattering. Cirque du Mac is one of those things, you know, we organize it, but it's not ours. It's ours, right? It's all of ours. And that's the beauty of it.
What we're talking about is Cirque du Mac's party and the all-star band, which I'm going to miss someone out. So help me out here, Dave. It's you. Yep. It's Paul Kent. Chuck Latournis, Chris Breen,
Brian Chaffin, Dwayne Straub.
Dwayne I missed, and the other guy was Doc...
And Bob Levitis.
Bob Levitis, there we go. Yep. Yeah.
And Breeny's hair. Don't forget Breeny's hair.
Hey, mate, you can't take the piss out of Breeny. That boy can play a piano.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that boy can play a piano.
He is such a pleasure to play with, yeah. Yeah, he's a monster.
Well, apparently you have your fans as well, Dave, be fair.
Well, that's good. But, you know, we do what we do. We enjoy the heck out of it. This year, especially. This was the most fun I think any of us have ever had playing, you know, that gig. And we've been doing this 2001, so 13 years.
Well, we're going to cover it tomorrow because it's the Mac Show tomorrow. But sweet. Based on the fact you were on here, we couldn't let it pass. If you want to watch it, you go to YouTube and look for Wally Czerwinski. And it's just like it sounds, Czerwinsk and Polish. And just look for his. And there's a playlist on there for the Macworld all-star band at Cirque du Mac. And it is awesome. And it'll give you a vibe about what Cirque du Mac's like, because it is a massive, massive atmosphere. It was just superb. And I've put my video up of the girl on the curtains, and Wally's put his up as well. So
yeah,
you've got two views. Well, there's a girl who did like an acrobatic thing in curtains, and it's on the Mac feed. If you go back through our Mac feed, you'll see it, Cirque du Mac, and it's the girl. But I've cut the actual music in. I've slowly faded out of the audio that was on my phone and gone into the real music and then got back out to my phone for the applause at the end. So have a look, have a watch. But you've got to see the Cirque du Mac stuff. The band is... I mean, you guys practice like once before you play and then that's it?
We practice once a year, whether we need it or not. That's right. Yeah. We get an email trail going and pick songs and then learn them. And then we get together a couple days before the party when we all get to town, and that's that. So yeah, it's a blast. Most of it is as unrehearsed as it could possibly be.
I got to say, Dave,
starting in together.
I have to say, mate, I really hate frigging talented people like that. Jesus, you piss me off.
We practice every day all year long just to make it passable. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, man. You guys have played, you've played together like 12 times and that's it.
Actually, we've played together. So we've done 11 parties of ours, but before we started the party, I think we did 4 or 5 gigs at other people's parties. And then earlier this year, we actually did a gig at the Mac 30th party at the Flint Center. So it was a huge venue. So I think we've probably done 15 or 16 gigs together. So
Mac Vader is chirping up in the chat room saying Cirque was great this year, which it absolutely was. And he's also saying he's got a picture of me with a full glass of beer. That's a unique photo right there. Next to Dave, Mr. Wheatley, he's back. Are you all right, mate? Are you recovered from last night's help show?
Yes, it was a good help show last night.
I really enjoyed that.
There was a lot more Windows stuff, which is good, but I have to admit, yes, I sort of zoned out a little bit, but it was...
I lost interest with this at Windows.
I didn't have anything to add. Kerry Holtzman was he's a font of knowledge.
He's good.
He's superb.
He is. He's real good. I think what really annoyed me the most, you know, my Bluetooth question that kicked it all off.
Yeah.
Well, I went on YouTube and I thought, right, let's have a look and see what and there's tons of reviews of those Bluetooth auxiliary output things, and none of them tell you how to pair it. And every comments column has got, yeah, but how'd you pair it? Bastards.
That seems a really strange one, that one. But
it must work. I'm going to lock myself in a lead line box so that there's no other Bluetooth signals coming in, and just put them both in pairing and just sit there until they merge, and that's the end of it.
You might want beer.
Take beer with me, but then as long as the beer doesn't add interference. But good point. Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
That's right. No Bluetooth beer.
No Bluetooth beer, no. Blue Moon beer. And last but my name is Lee Wrighty. How you doing, sir? From Norwich.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm grand, boy. I'm doing all right. I've had a really nice day today. I've been out to Uxeter.
Ooh, hello, Uxeter.
Yeah, I don't know what happens there, but I was there. I did my swing thing, and then I came back. So it's all
blessed. It only happens when you're there.
No, I gather they swing when I'm not there. Okay. And I don't mean that swinging. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I don't mean swinging. anyway, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I've had a better end to the start of my day. I think we were talking yesterday. I was doing a video conference of a live operation this morning.
Nice.
And I had to see the inside of someone's face at 8:30 this morning and turn my breakfast.
Inside of someone's face?
Yeah, live operation. Like, we did a video conference in operating theatre and the university where I work. And it's great doing audiovisual support when it's kind of squelching and cutting of flesh. But enjoy.
Dot Rock in the chat room has put, or on Twitter rather, has put his favourite picture from Cirque du Mac. There it is. Chuck Latournis and Mr. Kent rocking it out. They were good. Awesome. They were good, I have to say. You've got to go and watch that. Wally Chawinski's YouTube channel. Get in there, get it seen, because you'll love it. Right, who's brought us a story? Who wants to start us off with what they think was the most important thing of the week, the biggest story of the week?
Okay. You know, okay, let's junk in, Poe. I wanted to get mine out of the way in case I botch it.
Okay, as honored guest, away you go.
You know, honestly, for this week, it's been the Twitter, I don't want to call it a Twitter conference because it was kind of an ad hoc Twitter conversation between the FCC's Gigi, Sean, and the rest of us talking about net neutrality. So if you do the Google search on, FCC net neutrality, I'm sorry, a Twitter search on FCC net neutrality, you can see the comments and conversation that was going back and forth. But I have a video that this lovely young lady presented on YouTube, and it is hands down like the best explanation of net neutrality I've ever seen. I'm going to pop that into Twitter in a second as soon as I verify I have the right link. And what happens is, I think it's one of these things where a lot of people, they have an ambient awareness of it. And even in the tech press, a lot of us have an ambient awareness of it, but don't fully grok the whole situation or don't understand why it's important. And what happens here is people will be like, ah, that's not important. It doesn't bother me. I don't really care. I don't have Netflix, you know, things like that. Not realizing that we could benefit really a lot by getting cheaper internet and better connection.
Sorry, mate. That's waiters has just dropped his connection. He lives in an area of Scotland where they have to go. They have to go outside to get signal. Go ahead.
Yeah. Where is it, Scott?
I actually have a donkey in the garden, and that actually travel and brings my packets backwards and forwards from the router.
Gotta feed the donkey.
So, to me, really, it's just one of these things that even if you like. Just use your computer as an internet freak and you don't do a lot more, you should really be paying attention to this and calling the necessary people in our government who say that they listen to us. I don't want to give any false pretenses that they actually care what we say, but you should still make noise about it or at least understand what's going to happen. If we don't get, you know, our ISPs to be considered common carriers, like pretty much the rest of the world.
Well, and I don't know that I agree with you, but I don't know that it will ever be considered common carrier. I mean, I think that ship has sailed, right? The legislation was written incorrectly years ago when no one was paying attention and should have been written correctly and could have. And now there's nothing. I mean, there's way too much vested interest in it, in them not being common carrier. So I can't imagine that it's ever going to truly get to that point. The FCC this week, right, said that they were opening it for public comment. Like you said, how much of that they'll listen to. I don't know. This week, they said that they would allow some, pay for premium or pay for priority stuff. And I mean, that just sounds like an opportunity ripe for corruption, you know.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Well, you think about this, Dave. When you look at Mike Weasel and his group, how does a guy who used to be a lobbyist for the pipe connectors get to be in charge of the FIC? I mean, it makes about as much sense as screen doors on a submarine. If you're asking for corruption, you put a guy who used to be a lobbyist for the cable companies to be in charge of the FCC. So
always works. I mean, that's the way it works, right? Is, you know, you're involved. It's part of the good old boy network.
Oh, Chinakowski wasn't there
with you being in charge. So you're in charge.
Yeah.
Except we're not okay.
It's really scary for us because, you know, we went around for many, many years touting ourselves as the land of the free and the home of the brave and there's great opportunities and this and that. And recently, our government has been doing some stuff that not only is bad for us, but it makes us look horrible to the rest of the planet. And that bothers me more than anything. It's like our national image is really, really taking a turn. And it kind of makes me sad. Not to mention having to pay so much for a halfway decent connection. And whenever I travel to Asia a lot, or I go to Japan or Korea often, and the internet speeds there are so amazing and the price is so cheap. I'm like, how
but
is
I think,
it that?
We, I think you've got to separate so those issues. I think that's the thing. You've got to separate those issues in your mind because this is not an issue about how good or bad your internet service provision is. That's a different thing entirely. This is about, and I saw the video with the packet delivery thing analogy. And there was some merit in that. But the thing that I looked at when I first saw it was, no, hang on a second. If someone is delivering more packets, they're paying more money because their unit value of packets is going down. The rate that they pay for each packet is going down, but they're still paying more money to the courier to bring more packets. And there's that's where that analogy really falls flat on its face. And it's right at the start. What I put in the blog that I wrote, if you haven't read the blog post I've written on it, this is you'll find out what I think about it if you go to our blog. But my analogy was someone built a dam and they filled it with water and they paid someone else to fill it full of water for them. And then they opened the gates and they flooded rivers that weren't designed for the amount that the dam holds. And the people that are paying to, or that are paid by the people, by the public to upgrade the rivers and hold them up aren't getting paid enough by the public to uphold the rivers. Well, okay, that doesn't really figure because Comcast is, and it's giving out divvies to shareholders, which isn't good when you're providing a substandard service. But the people that built the dam with total impunity and didn't think for one second about how they were going to get that information down through those rivers to those people, and the fact that the rivers were not capable and were not sustainable for those. There has to be some provision of payment from the people that build the dam and fill it full of water. They can't just throw it out there and say, oh, it's your fault if you can't get it to it. Because all this is a debate between who's going to look bad in front of the customer. And
well, yes and no. I mean, the customer is paying for the water, right? Or the packets that they're receiving. So why should the customer be punished and not able to get packets? As the customer, I can't get packets from the people I want because the people I don't want are paying more.
Tell me,
where the issue is, right? We publish a website at Mac Observer, or even this feed here, right? Let's say our listeners want to hear what we have to say, but we're not paying the premium price that Netflix is, so our stuff gets slowed down or our stuff doesn't get the priority. You can use whatever words you want. One guy's faster, one guy's slower. And that's where the problem is, because the customer doesn't get to choose.
And these guys are double dipping too, because we're paying them for the connection, but then they're going to pay the people that want to deliver ask the people that want to deliver the content to pay too. So they're getting paid on both ends and still delivering a substandard service, saying that they can't afford to make it better. But we have to raise the rates. That part's a little shady too.
But to take that water analogy, we pay water rates because we want water. The fact that the guys built the dam and opened the gates, but if nobody was wanting the water, the gates, the stuff would still stay in the dam. I know it doesn't really work quite like that in that analogy with the dam and whatnot, but you pay water rates to have that water to your house. Netflix, it's not Netflix, take Netflix because that's kind of the one that keeps on getting cited for this. Take Netflix as an example. It's not Netflix's fault that they've made an amazing service. You know, the fact that everybody wants to use it and therefore they are filling the lines up. The people who want to use it are paying Netflix for their subscription. They're paying Comcast in this scenario and in all over the world, all different services, for the ability to use a pipe to get that information down to you. And everybody's kind of paying what they need to pay. And it's up to the people who make the pipes to make them more robust.
I think the economy of scale, though, is what falls down on all of this. And the problem is that we sit and look at what is provision for what we see as our own little sphere. But actually, when you multiply that out by the population of the world, and I think Twitter's one of those things that's given me this idea of we are infinitesimal. I've got hardly any followers on Twitter. You look at people in the tech world that are celeb, as in the Andy and Echoes and the Tom Merritts at 70,000 Twitter followers and so on. And they are
ready to say Doc Rock, weren't you, mate?
And you. But but they are infinitesimal in comparison to the people that have got 25 million followers on Twitter. And it's that if you've got 25 million people following you on Twitter, that is a percentage of your total audience. It's not the full audience. And then you're thinking, right, I've got, you've got, what's his name, Psy, with over 1.5 billion views on YouTube of Gangnam. And you think, the full res version of that is something like 3 gig. That 3 gig, 1.5 billion times, and YouTube does 2 billion uploads a day. Not plays, uploads a day. And that scale just does not compute with the fact that suppliers are laying stuff with a 3-year shelf life on it, and 3 years is pointless. It's got a 10-week shelf life on it.
So wouldn't it be better, though, to just raise the price for the customer directly? As opposed to
that's what will happen regardless.
Water here?
Exactly. That's the point. That's what will happen regardless. The customer will pay more.
As the customer, I'd rather them just come to me and say, hey, we need to charge, we need more money to make these pipes work. And so we're just going to charge you directly. Can we do that? I would much rather that than paying, if they go charge Netflix, if they charge Netflix 50 cents, Netflix is going to charge me 75.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've created a profit opportunity here that just doesn't need to be there. I'd rather pay Comcast 60 and be done with it.
Yeah, for speed, because here in the UK, I had like standard broadband, and I upped it for infinity. You know, I'm paying for the speed. So is it down to the customer to pay for the speed? Can you have that option?
Yeah, definitely. It should be. Because you don't want to put that money back onto, in this scenario again, Netflix. Because it's not just about getting Netflix to play, Netflix to pay just now, because of course they can afford it. It's about, you know, what, four or five years ago or something like that. I don't know when Netflix arrived, but 4 or 5 years ago, if this had come in because of YouTube, and YouTube was taking up, you know, 25% of the pipe or something like that, and then those costs were getting pushed back again, and Netflix would have never started. You know, because they couldn't have afforded that sort of money when they were still a startup. And so you're going to be really, really just pushing down on innovation for these companies who are going to end up doing some cool things in the future. So it's not about right now. It's about what's going to happen in the future. And these rules are going to cripple that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you brought that up, because there was a report that says Netflix uses about, I think it's 32.8% of all of the bandwidth on the internet. The other thing that's really kind of interesting is Netflix.
Say that again.
It uses 32.8% of the internet bandwidth, period.
God, I ain't being verbally dyslexic. I've got that at 82%. Jesus. Sorry, carry on, Doc. 82? No.
I mean, because, no, this report's a little older. I mean, I think it's like a 2012 report, but you got to assume it's a little higher than that. But if it went from 30-something to 80-something, that's pretty crazy. But the other thing that just happened, anyone who has Netflix got an email on Monday morning that said, oh, yeah, by the way, we paid Comcast for faster speed, and I hope you're going to enjoy that. We did that for you. But it turns out that if you are a Netflix subscriber, we're going to bump you by $1.
Yeah.
So we're about to pay $1 more. So, of course, Netflix didn't mind paying Comcast what they needed, because we're paying for it.
Doesn't matter. And, you know, to be fair, the report may have said that Netflix uses 32.8% of the internet, but that's not true. It's that Netflix's customers use 32.8% of the internet. Without very customers, true. Netflix doesn't use anything. And that's the thing, is as their customer, I'm also Comcast's customer, and I'm paying Comcast for my bandwidth. Why do I have to then also pay Netflix for Comcast's bandwidth?
One of your major problems, though, Dave, is that if you're not Comcast customer, you're no one's customer as well.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Well, I actually have the option of going to Fios.
You're in the minority, though, in the States, aren't you?
What's that?
You having the option is a minority in the States.
It is. Yeah, and Hawaii, Comcast is far and away my best option right now here.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Same here. Like, we have Time Warner, which until like a month ago was Time Warner, but now it's about to be Comcast in about 60 days from now. So we have always pretty much only had one, because Hawaiian Tel and Coconut Wireless do not do anywhere near what Time Warner Cable / Comcast does. So they get away with it because there are options, but those options don't count. It's kind of like Panatech versus the iPhone.
Who the hell's Panatech?
It's those little plastic flip phone, like really crappy Android.
Oh, the type that Carrie Holtzman uses.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They're a rubbish phone company. Sorry, Panatech.
Carrie Holtzman's still using a Razer V3. He's got a pile of them in his desk, and when one craps out, he pulls another one out.
Well, I see UK Netflix are going to raise their prices by £1 a month as well.
But that's only for new subscribers, though, isn't it?
I know, but are we getting that same kind of squeeze here, though?
Yeah, my email didn't say new subscribers. My email says I was going up by $1, which I don't mind, because, you know, Netflix gives me all of what I need. I should reread the email just to be sure, but I'm pretty positive it says I'm going up too.
Now, the UK went through this a few years back, and that's when BT had to open their pipes up to everybody.
There's a bit of me here as well, because I read the email and probably deleted it. And the reason I did is because I thought, I'd pay you £12 anyway. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same.
For what I get from you. I mean, it's Orange is the New Black is due out soon, and we've watched the second episode of, or the second series of House of Cards. I've got to get back to Lilyhammer, because I've never seen Lilyhammer, and it's well worth watching, I'm sure. And so we've gone, you know, we've gone through all of that stuff, and it's don't tell Netflix, for Christ's sake, but I'd give them £12, no worries.
Well, when you think of it from the point of view, Sky TV over here, and how much I pay for Sky TV, and if you look at it on a pound per pound value of what I get out of Netflix and out of Sky TV,
it's
massive. absolutely huge. Yeah. It would be in the tens of pounds for Sky and pennies for Netflix.
I pay £70 a month for Sky, I think, and we watch the movies a lot, we do, but the kids' channels and the F1 and the sport, that's it.
See, I don't even pay
70 quid a month.
I'm on the top level package, but it's
50 what?
It works out. Yeah,
well, it's multi-room as well. So you've got HD's an extra tenner, then multi-room is an extra tenner. And then I think the basic package is about 45 anyway. So I'll probably pay more than that.
See, that's the difference. Now I'm nearly 50, you see. We go to bed with a cup of tea to watch another episode of Breaking Bad. Not to have sex anymore.
Breaking Bad in a different way.
If someone says, are you going to the bedroom tonight to get lucky? I'm, yeah, we're up to the last season of Breaking Bad.
I got a question for you guys. I know on the iPhone itself, I have a bandwidth manager kind of application that I use because AT&T has been sending me threatening texts. Is there a application for the Mac that will allow me to say set my monthly day for my cable company and say the 5th every from the 5th to the 5th, tell me how much bandwidth I've used?
There are some, and of course, every one of them escapes me at the moment, but that's only going to measure it for any one of your computers at a time. So
I would just put it on all five of them and add it up, because I'm just curious, because I just got a text today that said once Comcast takes over, they're going to put us on a 500 gig cap, which isn't troubling to most people. But right here, there's three Macs. There's two more over there, and there's one under the telly, which actually does the most damage because that's the cable cut one.
Bandwidth Plus is available on the Mac App Store. It's free. Download speed display, but there's nothing that says anything about.
No, there's one. I should know.
I'm looking at bandwidth
converter. I'm going to ask MacGeekab then. Don't know.
Yeah, ask those guys at MacGeekab.
What the hell do the British Tech Network know? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I've just switched on to this is hot news. Hot news. Because I've been on the Mac App Store today and absolutely nothing happened. It's so boring crap that's always there. But Hitman is in the OS X store. The
Mac App Store. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, the absolute elite edition, nonetheless.
That was great. That was the big show. Where can we get a hold of you? I got something to do, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw that.
Screens look amazing. Holy crap.
If you've got a decent machine, that could be. If you've got a brand new Mac Pro, that's going to play like.
Time to buy a Mac Pro,
that's the reason to buy a Mac Pro, right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
$3,000 for Mac Pro and $30 for this bad boy.
Anyway, who else has got a story?
Go on, Emily. You kick us off, boy. Kick us off.
So, my story is, to be honest, it's probably a shameless plug for the Gamer Show that'll be out on Monday night. But I just wanted to talk about Microsoft. Dropping the price of the Xbox One and dropping the Kindle, and also so basically that's one big full reverse, because originally they said that it was completely core to the Xbox One's experience was you needed the Kinect. It was absolutely core. You could not do anything with the Xbox One without it. And they've actually come back and went, well, you know what? Actually, because we're getting our asses whipped a little bit with the PlayStation, we're going to drop the Kinect and drop the price of the Xbox One to be equal with the PlayStation 4. And also, you don't need gold Xbox Live membership anymore to use the things like Netflix, and I'm assuming a whole bunch of other services that we don't get that are in the States. But I think this is interesting.
It's another U-turn, isn't it? Yet another Microsoft U-turn.
Exactly. Yeah, another Xbox One U-turn in a list of many, many. Returns, but
you know, and which is kind of crazy, because I think the Kinect is somewhat core to the experience. Like, I use mine mostly for watching telly and whatnot, but when I play games, it doesn't do anything for me. But when you're watching the TV, being able to just say, hey, I want to watch Clint Eastwood, and it goes and finds me things that have Clint Eastwood in it.
We don't get that in the UK, though. Yeah. We don't have any of that integral TV viewing. Basically, all I can do is if I happen to be on the Xbox dashboard, I can say Xbox Watch TV, and probably one out of five times it puts the TV on for me. It just sits there and stares at me ignorantly until I get up, shout at it, wake my daughter up, and then eventually I have to go over and switch the controller on.
I was going to say, you can use the remote for that, you know. Works pretty well.
Is it any proper integration with the Xbox One and cable TV? Because it was kind of a hash at the start. So is there any integration now?
I would say that versus Time Warner, the display for the help, I mean, that the help guide, the what's coming up guide is much better on the Xbox. It's still a little bit kludgy. And the fact that you have to operate it by plugging your cables HDMI into the Xbox and now it kind of like wants to take over the whole thing is a little bit rough. And also, I'm still getting used to turning on my entire, you know, box of kit over there just by yelling at the Xbox. And it works sometimes. Sometimes I'm literally screaming, "The Xbox, you stupid! Turn the dang TV on!" Like I'm late for some footy. What the hell's going on? I start yelling at it. So it does that. But isn't it, when it's working,
isn't it crazy that in 2014 we're still plugging boxes into boxes? Shouldn't the Xbox be able to do that out of the box?
And that's the part that bothers me. Also, now that we, you know, Ethernet cable theoretically could send everything in because there are services like I used to have ITV from the UK in order to watch footy before we had like Fox Soccer. I used to pay about $50 a month for this little box that you plug into your Ethernet and it would basically give me Satanta and Sky One, I think. And a couple other weird shows about like Antiques Roadshow and other stuff like that. But mainly I got it.
Fiona Bruce.
I was on there once.
Actually, that's how I discovered Top Gear, which is another one of my crazy UK addictions, that and Orphan Black. But yeah, so from way back in about 2005, I had a little box that went into the Ethernet. And at then, we only had like a 2 meg down, and I could watch cable from the UK here. So why is it that I even need that stupid thing out of the wall? Why can't I just feed it straight out of the Ethernet? And from there, the Ethernet into the Xbox, it theoretically should be able to control everything just from the Ethernet, but they just don't do it.
Why can't an RJ45 go straight into the back of your brain?
That's coming.
I'm
going to get one put right there.
Well, rumor has it.
Yeah,
I've shaved my head for the surgery already, as you can see.
That's right.
So I guess what Mr. Rock there is essentially summarized my news story there. So all good.
That's all he does. If we start any subject, it comes round to a Man U game on the TV. Hey. You got a problem, dude. You need some help.
I happen to be an addict.
No kidding. And it's not been a good year for you.
Sorry?
Stop rubbing it in. It's already painful.
Yeah, I think, Doc, me and you need to do something about swapping TV subscriptions because all of my sport I watch in the States, so you can have my British sport because I don't watch any of it.
get two sling boxes and go to town.
Right there. I do have one.
Oh, dear, dear. I can see midnight phone calls. Paul, it's not working.
It's not midnight here. I don't see what the problem is.
Why does everything keep coming to Fire TV with you, Paul?
For all those people who are catching up on the podcast and watching it on their Xbox One, I just want to say, Xbox off.
I've always wondered, would that work? What happened if something on TV said that? Like, would it cut itself off?
It does.
There was that 30 Rock episode where they were taking the mic out of that. But there was, there was a clip on, I saw it on YouTube or something like that, and it was a guy who had actually put his gamer tag as Xbox off. And he was running about in Call of Duty just being an arse and just generally being annoying. And so everybody was kind of shouting, Xbox off! And then everybody switched off.
That's outstanding.
There's a serious point there because if you're listening to this show, we are the second most popular show on the network. The first one is the Mac Show. But all the other shows that we produce as well, we've got a whole ton of them. We've got a House of Cards podcast, which is coming out this week. We've got the Pocket Show, which Paul does and covers everything that's on tablets or phones only and goes in your pocket. And it's a really cool format because there's a Windows user, there's an Android user and there's an iOS user on every week, and they all kind of pass information and learn stuff off each other as well as passing comment on the news stories of the week. And then there's a gamer show with Paul, Sam and Chiz, which is, I gotta say, it's I'm not going to say it's the only show I listen to on the network out of choice, but it's one of the only shows I'd miss if the network wasn't here, because I sit and listen to it out of choice. It's a great show, really, really good. Knowledgeable guys. Chiz is unbelievably good at gaming. But But it's
and
a
you'll
great show.
Learn a little bit about British biscuits or cookies, if you will.
Biscuits, yeah. We didn't do biscuits for the flight when we went to Macworld, which we should have thought of, because we did talk about Garibaldi's, but we never took them. And we've had we get reviews and stuff like that as well. And there hasn't been a review for the Gamer Show for a few weeks. So if you do listen to the Gamer Show, or if you don't, give it a go, and then please give it a review, because it makes a difference in iTunes. And have a subscribe and have a listen for a few weeks, because the other shows on the network are great. They're really good, really fun. It's still in the same vibe as all the others. We had a review for the Big Show this week as well. Thank you very much to the guy that left it. The review is, I love the Big Show, even when the Americans are on.
Wow.
That's high praise right there.
It is. No, it's high praise for you guys. You fit into the British mold. We only pick the Americans that fit into the British mold. The ones that would have been turncoats instead of bluecoats. There you go.
You got to be careful saying that. I live in New Hampshire here. They'll still come get me.
Oh, dude.
There's wow, people watching. My neighbors think I'm crazy as it is. I'm the dude that lives in his house all day and then suddenly is able to pay for his house, and then nobody understands why. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I get that, too. And if you do any research, you'll find out, like, one of Hawaii's biggest crops is, and that's what everybody assumes I do. Because, yeah, I'm either in the house or in the studio all day, and yet I live in a killer condo. I drive a German kit, and yeah, I kind of dress up and hang out at nightclubs all the time because my other gig is DJ at a nightclub. So everyone's really must assume I'm into a bunch of nefarious stuff.
Because no, I get that.
My wife's friends years ago, now they sort of understand that you can make money on the internet that's not porn, but it used to be that, you know, she would have to say, oh yeah, well, he publishes a website, it's not porn. You know, that's the first thing she had to tell everybody, because otherwise they just assumed.
You're talking to a bloke who gets up at 5 a.m. and starts work, and I come down into this office. The desk where I do the show is here now, and the desk where I work is over on the other side here. And I sit down and I start editing video or doing some graphics or something like that, and the doorbell goes, and it's the postman with something from Amazon, and I go and answer the door in my pyjamas. And I wake up in the morning, I start work at 5 o'clock, I work through till 7 o'clock at night, I go upstairs and have a shower and put a clean pair of pyjamas on. Just wear a pair of pyjamas every day. And the guy that comes to the door, I'm sure he looks at me and go, how come there's so much stuff from Amazon coming in here when this dude spends the entire frigging day in his pyjamas?
You know, it's really funny saying what Dave just said is, a lot of times about I'm talking to people and say, what do you do now? It's like, oh, mostly I write for AOL. And they go, AOL's still around? And I'm like, oh. I go, well, it's different, but yeah. And they're like, really? Do you still need those discs? Like, yeah. No, it's not the same. Never mind. I can't explain it.
It's when you say write for AOL and you turn out you're a collectible.
By complete comparison, though, I have to move house every 2 years, because sometimes people who live around me see my iPhone, and I get chased out of town for being a witch.
Because you've got an iPhone.
Just because I live in the wilds of Scotland, and the whole concept of the internet seems weird and new.
You must have had a right old time when you came back from honeymoon with a tan.
Yeah, nobody knew. Everybody kind of, you know. Everybody didn't have a clue who I was.
No, I'm not saying this. I did some work for the Fire Service College years ago. I went and made a video for them down in Morton in the Marsh. And there's a guy there from Grampian Fire Service. And he was the same age as me. So he's mid-40s. And I said, we were talking about the parochialism of Scotland. And he said, when I was 7 years old, I walked 4 miles to the next village to see a black man. He said there was a rumour that spread like wildfire that there was a black guy having a cup of tea in a tea shop in the next village, and everyone walked to the next village to go and watch this poor bloke having a cup of tea because they'd never seen a black bloke. And he's only my age. We're not talking someone who's in, you know, going back 80 or 90, 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's that parochial.
Tell them to watch last week's Max show, because I had a big old cup of Earl Grey, so they can just catch up now.
Dude,
I do it for you every week.
Dude, they couldn't see you on last week's Max show. It was an atrocity. It was freaking awful. It fell to pieces. Righty, what did you bring for us?
Right. I'm 18.
Okay.
I'm drunk. I've done some inappropriate with the farm animal.
You're drunk if you still think you're 18, boy.
Yep. I've done something inappropriate with a farm animal.
If the next one is teens, then we've got some really good SEO for this show.
But I can have it removed from the internet. It was uploaded. My friends took photos of it. I got removed from the internet. But this week, the Spanish law courts ruled that Google, a chap that had his house repossessed in 1998, who didn't want people to know, fought Google from 2012.
Yes.
And basically said that, I don't want people to know that I had my house repossessed in 2012. And it was overturned. And he could then have that information removed from Google. And that has now set a precedent saying that if you find something in a search term that you don't approve of, you can now have that removed from Google. And there's now been a kind of a tidal wave of people contacting Google saying, actually, I don't like that. What do we think about that? Is that the way to go? Or are you just a brat for putting something online?
Has it actually went through yet, though? My understanding was that it was kind of getting to the point where it might actually happen, but
it's gone through and Google already getting requests. That has a ruling by the European Court of Justice. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it has gone through and Google are now receiving requests from the public.
Wow.
I didn't think that had gone through yet. And I didn't expect it to go through. I thought Google would just appeal this and appeal this and appeal this. We're blue in the face because this is huge.
When I was 18, then we invented the combustion engine, let alone the internet.
Yeah, it says Google are already getting requests to remove objectionable personal information from its search engine after Europe's court ruled that subjects have the right to be forgotten after a... Yeah. So basically, the right to be forgotten has been passed.
Well, there's a right to privacy, isn't there?
Yeah, but where? I mean, okay, so I can get Google to get rid of it, and that's a good thing, right? It's a huge step, but it's not everything. If someone is looking for information on you and you've removed it from Google, well, they might find it elsewhere, right? It's going to be found on Bing and Yahoo and in archive.org, and you know, to what extent is this going to? I mean, presumably, if Google has to do this, then everyone else has to too. But it's on you, the person who wants to see the stuff erased, to actually contact every single place that it might exist. I don't know, man. I guess that's an opportunity for a new business. We'll go wipe you from the internet.
That's a good point.
But the very nature of the internet, surely, that just doesn't make sense to me, because if Google's going to... Google takes it out of wherever it's currently recorded, but then all these other news stories throughout the internet are making reference to it, and Google surely is indexing them, so... By its very nature, it will then be picking up those links with the spiders again, and then it just, wow.
Windrider, so Dave's had the business idea straight away, and the entrepreneur that he is, but Windrider's come up with the URL for you, Dave, shiftmyshit.com.
That's it, man. Perfect.
That is it. 50%.
I'll give him 10%.
50%, mate. 10 for, oh, man.
Got to start.
You're a hard nose. Jeez.
I think if you like to read, I put the full judgment in the chat room. But yeah, it has been passed. If you find that picture of you with that rubber sheep, you really can have it removed.
I think it's hard for people like us, though, because one of the things that we do is throw ourselves out on the internet for the purposes of entertainment and for the purposes of ego, perhaps, in a certain circumstance. Some of the emails suggest that anyway about me. But it's when someone writes a load of stuff about you that's nice, it's kind of, oh, it's good to have that out there. And people endorse you on LinkedIn, or people write a nice comment about your YouTube video and all that kind of stuff. But then when someone says, actually, Ewan's a wanker, and that gets published on a forum, you know, and then all of a sudden your customers are going, what's this? Apparently, exactly. I shouldn't hire you because you're a wanker. Well, okay, that's someone's opinion. But the problem is, it's where you've got the first problem of, I like the good stuff, but I hate the bad stuff. Well, you shouldn't have put yourself on the internet if you don't like any bad stuff, because there's someone's going to write something bad about you. And the worse stuff that they write about you, the more you've made it, perhaps. But also, if it starts affecting your personal life and starts affecting your business, and it's just someone else's opinion, and you go, hang on, put this in context. It's just another person's opinion of me, and not everybody likes everybody. Mm-hmm. It's only one person saying I'm a complete wanker. But if that customer's like, you know what? I've got you over here who's not being called a wanker. I've got you over here who is being called a wanker. I'm going to give the business to this person.
Yeah.
It's a hard call.
And you can't get rid of that. I mean, you can get rid of Google's index to something bad, but you're not going to get rid of the source.
No.
I mean, or are you? I mean, can we get a notice at TMO that we didn't like some application, right? So we wrote a review and it was true and all of that. Can someone say you have to take that down because I don't like it? I mean, how far is this going to go?
But who finds anything on the net without Google?
Well, if everybody has everything taken from Google, somebody else is going to become the de facto index.
Yeah.
Okay. The dirt index.
You got it.
Do you want to find some dirt? Come to dirt.com.
Well, here's another business, right? You index Google, right? Because at that, you just find everything and then do comparative indexes. I don't know what kind of horsepower you'd have to do, but bear with me on this. And figure out what they pulled out and then highlight that. And there you go.
Mm. And I think if this thing gets a chance to get some legs and run a little bit, it's only going to get worse with the sort of next generation coming through. Because, I mean, certainly my oldest daughter and all her friends, I've told them time and time again, when I see it on Facebook, all the photographs and all that kind of stuff going up, and I'm like, you know what? This stuff's there forever. And she, oh, yeah, it's behind a password. It's behind a password. Yes, it's behind a password, but it's on the internet. You know, you're going to be going for jobs in the future and everything like that. And you need to be aware of everything you're putting out there on Snapchat and everything like that. You know, she's very, very blasé about it. But the thing is, if this gets some legs and gets to run for the next 10 years, that's going to be the generation that's going, oh my God, those hundreds of thousands of photos that I put on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram, you know, when I was in my 16s and I'm now out of uni, I'm 26 and I'm looking for a job and there's just this torrent of crap that is so incriminating for an employer. I just, you know, I want this all wiped off the internet. And then what do we do?
Yeah. I think we're at the age where we're putting things out there because I think most of us are parents or whatever, and we're being very sensible. I'm so glad there was no Twitter or Facebook when I was like 18 years old because it would have been a nightmare. I'm so glad there was
no Google.
Yeah, so, no Google.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten hired Google, actually, when I was at school. Like that. Yeah.
I might have actually had a chance to pass something. But I'm kind of glad there was no camera phones back when I was young.
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be here right goodness. Now. I'd be behind bars.
One of the things I think that is really, really funny about this is, you know, it's not even directly your Instagrams or your Facebook or whatever. There's these APIs out there. And like I have a friend of mine who has, and I asked her a couple of times, she should stop doing it. She has her phone number on her Instagram profile because, well, she does a business where she thinks she's going to get clients that way. But she's a really, really attractive girl. And she's like, I get all these creeps that, you know, like hit me up on Instagram and I don't know why. And then she's starting to get weird text messages. I'm like, you can't leave your phone number on there. It's just the craziest thing. She's like, well, I have it private. And then I showed her just by doing a search on her Instagram name, how much results come out of even the pictures that she thinks is private because the APIs are sort of broken. And Instagram has recently fixed this, but for a long time, if you wanted to see something was on a private account, all you had to do was Google search on that account. And there's about 400 plus sites out there that basically scrub all of your photos from Instagram and Facebook and put them out after the lock. And those, you know, those things are hard to stop. So even with this Google thing going out there and working, that's hard for Google. They're going to have to track down Statagram and Winstagram and Inkst and like all these other weird services that basically scrape Instagram feeds.
I think one of the things as well, though, that's kind of a little bit sad is that I get letters that come to me and emails that give me a hard time over stuff. And I can promise you the worst thing you can say about me is I've got a strong opinion about something and I'll stand by it, by the courage of my convictions, and I'll say what I think. And if you don't like it and you're completely opposed to it, well, such is a democracy, mate. You're perfectly entitled to your opinion and I'm perfectly entitled to mine. The thing is, I make a show and I say it, and you get upset because I say it and the way that I say it, but that's the worst thing you'll ever find out about me, is I've got the courage of my convictions to stand by an opinion that I hold. And that doesn't appear to be good enough anymore. That's the problem, because the internet wants me to be some bland shithead who never says anything that's above the company line. And I think that's crap. I hate
that. It doesn't actually want you to be
that. Oh, it does. By the way that it retweets and it mocks and it jibes and it sends emails and it persecutes, that's exactly what it wants. And I can't stand Chris Evans. I think Chris Evans is a complete dick personally, and I've never met him. But I liked the fact that he said what he wanted when he had a radio show and a TV show. He aired his opinions, he had the courage of his convictions, and hats off to him. He's 10 out of 10 as a bloke for me, as far as that's concerned. I didn't agree with a lot of what he said, and I didn't think he was a particularly good guy from what I saw, but at least he did it.
Yeah, but see, I think people that don't have the courage of their convictions don't get retweeted. And they also don't get the flack, right? But you don't get either if you're just kind of in the middle. That's blasé. What value are people ever going to see in that? It may be what they think they want, but they don't. People don't actually want that.
Wow,
who was that?
That was me. Noise. Sorry, I had spotted dick for breakfast.
Jesus.
I gotta go.
iBookery says, I've got the curry of my convictions. Ah. Oh.
Somebody had curry.
Ah. Oh, there we go. Batwin says she likes Chris Evans. He's grown on me like a piece of moss.
Yeah.
iBookery's making a reference about Snapchat, and I've got to say, you can see, like, Snapchat, you go out, this isn't going to happen to me, because there's no way I'm going to do this, but Snapchat's getting a bit of a reputation for being a bit chat roulette-ish, as far as it goes, and you can see, so you could go out on a date with someone, and this girl goes, are you on Snapchat? Yeah, I'm such and such and such. Oh, right, okay, Scotland. Is that your penis?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Batwinch says she could well be. And who farted electronically? Spotted Dick for Breakfast, get a vote from Bronwyn for title, as well as Bluetooth Beer got one earlier on, so we'll have to vote on that at the end. Good story to Paul. I think I find that really hard to try and rationalise, because there's a lot of stuff where, you know, you're like, well, I throw myself out there, but there's an awful lot of stuff like, well, that's unfair.
Yeah, exactly.
And who arbitrates? And it is, and it's a free-for-all, and such is the openness of the net again.
I think if you put it out there, then you should kind of take the flak.
Yeah, it's what you put out there, because not everything that's out there about me is about what I put out there, so...
I think if it's someone puts it out about you, you have the right to take it down. But if you put it out there, then...
No, I don't think that's right at all. Case in point, last week, John Gruber wrote something about... he was bizarre. He compared two of our headlines at the Mac Observer, one from last week and one from 2 months prior. Now, I'm flattered that somebody compares headlines of ours 2 months apart. I don't do that, but I'm glad people do. And he said some things that were incorrect. I'm not even going to get into what the issue was, but he was wrong. And of course, it's his opinion, but it was wrong. So do I have the right to tell him to take that down? Absolutely not. Do I even want him to take that down? Not really. It's fine. It's great. But it's not great. But it's how it is.
But on the other hand, and just to play devil's avocado for a second here, I am sure you got click-throughs from that article.
Yeah, we did. I mean, John, I've known John for a long time, and when he links to other stuff that we do, we get a lot more. In my opinion, John had an axe to grind that had nothing to do with us. And he used our headlines as the foundation for him to be able to kind of go off and say his piece about this thing that's important to him. And the amount of traffic that we got from that is right in line with that, right? People were, the whole thing was actually just about headlines. It wasn't even about the stories themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't want him to take it down. I mean, it's his site. So I don't have the right, just like he doesn't, and none of you have the right to tell me to take something down at the Mac Observer.
A DMCA takedown notice for opinion.
Though, years ago, he wrote for us. And I didn't get a content agreement in place with him. And then he came back and he wrote good articles. It was like about Next or something, AppleScript maybe. And he came back and he said, you have to take all this stuff down. And it was because he was going out for a job and he didn't want, I'm like, what do you mean? He was like real dickish about it. And I said, well, okay, explain what's going on. He's like, no, you just have to take it down. And he issued a DMCA with our host. right? Saying that we didn't have the right to the content. So I took it down, and in its place on every one of these pages, I put his name and I said, this guy, gave us this content, but then he took it away. And I wrote entirely about what a dick he was. I didn't say he was a dick, but you know, that's what I wrote. I just explained the whole process. So 100% of it was true. And now every one of his articles has his name all over it. The URL is still there. And, but the content that he wrote for us is gone because he, you know, forced our hand. So, you know, which worked out better for him? I don't know. Would have been better to leave his smart articles up. There was good stuff. He wrote good stuff.
And well, the thing that was kind of crazy about what Gruber started was you got two different writers. They don't have to make the same style of headlines. It's just simple as that. You know, sure, Jeff writes one way, yeah, Brian writes another way. It didn't have anything to do with anything. Now, if one of those guys wrote both headlines, maybe you could read something into it. But
maybe,
yeah, two total difference. Yeah, that maybe is very genuine, generous.
It's because
that's extremely generous, and I will put that there. But yeah, you can't compare a guy who wears no pants all the time's headlines versus someone else's headlines. You know,
it clearly wasn't about us, right? I mean, he had his issue, but again, to the point of this, to bring it back to this, I wouldn't ask him to take it down. But yeah, under this new ruling, could someone do that? I don't know.
You want to write to Goober and say, I want you to take that down under DMCA because I had that opinion first, and it's my opinion. I've copyrighted my opinion, and your opinion is clearly after mine. So therefore...
I am so sorry.
That's not a world I want to live in.
By accident, no. Now it's a thing. Like, I didn't mean to call him Goober. Other than the fact that he's a Yankees fan, I'm okay with him. I'm a Red Sox guy. We fight about that on the internet once in a while, but I didn't mean to call him Goober. That was a slip.
And the ghost chasers.
Oh, God. This is over.
Good one. My story is about copyright. Unfortunately, if you go to the YouTube URL for Chris Hadfield's video, it's gone. It's been marked as private. He has taken it down because he was issued a license for 1 year by David Bowie for the music, and now that music has expired, the video is gone. So Chris Hadfield was here, most definitely. And I think that's really sad. And I got to say that if there is any aliens out there listening to the electronic signals that pass between us to them, they would be laughing their socks off. Because that was the only video that there's ever been on YouTube that made me look and think, here's what we could be. We can make a music video in space. And taken it down over a licensing agreement.
But Bowie is questionably not of this world anyway.
Maybe. If you've got any suit that you want to bring against this network, please send it to Paul, David. No, I think that was really, of all the negative things that, I mean, here's the thing, I worked for a company a few years ago, they had a corporation headquarters where they did training and stuff like that, and I went and shot stuff there, and I spent a lot of time there, I met my wife there, and they closed it down, and I carried on working for that firm around the East Anglia region.
Hey!
But the thing was, everyone said, they've closed Essendon. And it was just like, Essendon was a place that you went and you gave your time up to be trained and all that kind of stuff. It was a really nice corporate training environment. And when they got rid of that, they still did all the training, but they did it in other locations that were just offices. This place was a country house that was set aside, that had accommodation wings and that kind of stuff. And it had a massive negative effect on the organisation from a morale viewpoint. And there's a bit of me looks at that video disappearing, and I'm sitting thinking, I used to watch the video once a month, twice a month, because it was great. I loved the song. I loved Chris Hadfield's interpretation. I loved the footage. And I just thought, that is saying this is what we can do. We can put a man in space who can make a music video, can float around the planet, and we're sailing up and down along the coastline, and we're getting ready to go out across the ocean. Then we take it down over freaking copyright. You're having a laugh.
It's just getting silly now, isn't it?
I know he only gave me 1 year license, and I know Chris Hadfield's blogged about this and said he's all right with it. But as a species, as a I think that's a negative.
They've made their money on that song, haven't they?
There's no money. There's no money to be made.
Yeah, so why take it down? It's for people to see in the future, and for my daughter and my daughter's daughter to see it, to see what we managed to achieve. It's crazy to take that down, because that's a really great way to get. Because we watched those Chris Hadfield videos, and my daughter watched them, and she was amazed that she was watching these things from space, you know, all the scientific experiments and all that. And that was just a great kind of entertainment kind of thing, and it got a lot of people into it. And just to take that down is always a travesty, really.
There's a point about Batwitch here. More importantly, we can afford to send his guitar in space. Is it still up there? One of the things that he said on interview was that he wanted to take a guitar up, and he asked for permission, and they said yes. But they had to go out and buy two exact identical guitars, because everything that's in the space station, they have a copy of on Earth. They have the exact thing on Earth. And it goes back to Apollo 13. Yeah. So they can say, right, okay, this has gone wrong. What have they got at their disposal? And they have a container that's got everything that the space station has at its disposal. And he had to take up two guitars that were identical. He had to buy the same guitar. He couldn't take his own because they couldn't buy the duplicate.
They couldn't reproduce it.
Yeah. Huh. Which is really cool.
That's very interesting.
Now, I'm getting a note here in the chat room. Ewan, have a look at this. And I'm guessing it's a clone of Chris Hadfield's video. It's from David Bowie fans. They've decided to keep it up themselves, so I can still watch it. Fantastic. But that doesn't change the fact that it got taken. I'm going to just... Hang on, let me just put that down on the bookmark bar. There we go. Because I will watch that. Like I said, I just thought that when I saw that takedown, I was kind of like, that is so sad. And I don't know that anyone else gets me, because no one's agreed with me.
No. I agree with you. I'm assuming that there's got to be something in there. There's got to be something that was just like a paperwork at some point, didn't quite work out. I don't imagine it was kind of Bowie phoned up and was kind of saying, no.
No, Chris Hadfield wrote to Bowie, and Bowie gave him license for 1 year.
Yeah. But what I mean is, my desire to see the good in everybody makes me feel that this is just a little blip, and no doubt at some point in the next couple of weeks, this will either be forgotten about, which will be a real shame, or Bowie will kind of step up and go, do you know what, that was a bit of a screw up. You know, John in accounting forgot to double sign his TPS report, and somebody forgot about it. And it's all fixed now, and everybody's happy.
John's a bastard.
I know.
Don't take his...
Well, you know, he's had a bad week. His dog had to be put down and stuff. So.
You know, one of the things that... Again, here in Hawaii, I did radio for about 10 years, and I worked at what they call an urban CNR radio station. So it's mostly, you know, hip-hop and kind of contemporary pop music. And I have a lot of friends that are still in the industry, guys that are still working in A&R at big labels. And they told me, hands down, a lot of their sales comes from people doing weird knockoffs on YouTube, or from people literally just like jacking a song and putting the lyrics and stuff on YouTube. And then people identify with it. And it used to be YouTube would just take them down. Now they say, okay, you've been busted, but can I stick an iTunes link or a Google Play link on this song? If it's in the Google Play catalog, it'll get a Google Play link first, but that's relatively new. But my friends that work in an industry, one of my real good friends works at Columbia. He's like, they get a lot of sales from people pulling back like old hip hop songs that kids only find out by accident on YouTube, and now they like it. So I know it's working for them. And, you know, now you're gaining new fans to even, you know, people that say, I want to go and check who this Bowie guy is. Like, I never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've heard Uncle Doc talk about, you know, dressing up with the spiky hair back in the 80s looking like that. But what does that mean? And then they'll go to YouTube and they'll look stuff up, and they fall in love with older music. Like, most of what I know about jazz music is older stuff that I've listened to my dad, and then I remember some of it, and now I can't remember these guys. So I have to go to YouTube to see if I can find the name of the album so that I can then go get it from iTunes. So I use YouTube as a music discovery service. Why does a lot of companies not get this?
I know. Yeah. My 10-year-old recently got into Billy Joel, of all things. Not sure I support that wholeheartedly, but yeah, it's kind of cool.
But isn't that the same way that kind of like computer games kind of gain notoriety through the gameplay videos on YouTube as well? And they're always taking those down as well, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, and you learn about it. You know what's crazy is my 4-year-old niece would only go to sleep at night if she could listen to, of all things, Dean Martin. Wow. Like we literally would play her Dean Martin songs on an iPad and it would help her sleep. And now recently, I don't know where she got it from, but she likes Dylan. I'm like, this 4-year-old got game. She actually likes Dylan. I think that's cool. But how would any 4-year-old ever discover something like Dylan if it wasn't being used in commercials or in other videos that, you know, she may watch? And then she likes a song. So, yes, while most kids are going around singing Frozen, you know, she's singing Millions, which is just, you know, it's kind of funny to me, but
it's what you say to her. Why do you like listening to Dean Martin? Well, because it makes me feel drunk, Uncle Doc. Why do you listen to Bob Dylan? Yeah, because it makes me feel stoned, Uncle Doc.
it's funny, but like, I don't see how these companies don't get it. Like, music legacy is holding so tight right now because of the ability of Spotify and YouTube and even now iTunes Radio, Pandora. Like, people are discovering way more music than ever before. I don't know why these guys are so weird on copyright about stuff that shouldn't necessarily be copyrighted.
Any thoughts, Dave? I mean, you're the musician in the house, so, I mean, it'd be interesting to get your kind of view on it because you've got your own works, I take it.
Yeah, although I am a musician, but I have the number of songs that I've written lives on one hand. I am definitely a sideman and collaborator, but not a songwriter. However, anything that helps people discover music, I think, is a good thing. And most of the artists that I know feel the same way. It's like, just put it out there. I mean, a lot of the bands that I know and like are bands that let people, you know, record their shows and just trade them for, I mean, you know, if somebody's making money off of it, then the artist should be making money off of it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just get your music out there. And because bands don't make money, rarely have bands made money selling their music anyway. The way people make money is going and playing shows. And that's where the money comes from. So the more people that you can get to come to your shows, the more money you're going to make. And that's just how it works. So
shows and merchandising
right. Of course. Yeah. But you know, album sales made a lot of record companies rich and a very small number of artists rich. So yeah, I don't see any problem with it. And I think I agree. It's stupid to pull this stuff down. It doesn't, I can't imagine that somebody could show me on paper that they either lost money by having something out there unauthorized or made money when they finally got it to come down. I would love to see that math, but I don't think it exists. It
doesn't exist, no.
Absolutely. And now there's great opportunities because if you're a musician, and actually you even brought it up earlier, if you're a musician and you have a YouTube channel and you have a YouTube channel with ad rev on it, what do you think the hosters of the Psy video made an ad rev off of a video that got over 1 billion views? Like, you can't sell enough records to make that kind of money. Because I know what kind of checks I get from Google for my crappy videos. So I just look at that and imagine what the guys that are getting a billion views on their videos, what they're doing. And there's plenty of guys out there on YouTube that basically pull in 6 figures every year just making, like, tech videos.
There's kids that make Minecraft videos that are making easily 6 figures every year. It's crazy.
Yeah. So
it's awesome.
If anything, if you're a record company, dorks, how about you put your music videos under like Vivo and put commercials in the front and back of it like Vivo and learn how a company like Vivo turned that into their entire business model and they make bank doing exactly that. What licensing that videos and putting it on the tubes.
Nice little pull. Now, I mean, the thing is with Minecraft videos as well, there's a lot of them do parodies of music, and you can do parody, and it's exempt in DMCA, isn't it? So they still get the full license from it.
That story last week about the band that had managed to fund their tour because they managed to find a kind of a loophole in Spotify?
No.
I'm trying to Google it just now, but I can't think of exactly what the word. But it was an indie band, and the name sort of made me think it was a German band or something like that. But basically, they discovered that they got all their fans to just stream their entire album on repeat while they slept, and it worked out. It was something silly, like if or the average person, if they sleep for like kind of 8 hours or something like that, they generated about $5 in royalties.
Yeah, but wasn't the album 8 Tracks of Silence, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was 8 Tracks of Silence. And if you put that on repeat, they managed to make like $8 during the night. So if they got all their fans to do that on a regular basis and they managed to fund their tour. Or supposedly, I don't believe Spotify have paid out in royalties yet, so there might be some legal case or something like that to come. But other than that, was a genius.
It is excellent.
That is brilliant.
That's awesome.
Superb. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're our sponsor. They've been around for 4.5 years with us. They pick up all the bandwidth. And I'm going back to when we first started. We used to have 12,000 downloads of The Daily Show every day. And at the time, there's no way I would have afforded the kind of bandwidth that we used to consume. And UK2 were the ones that stepped in and said, yep, we'll support you, no problem at all. And they picked up everything back when it was really expensive. It's not so expensive now, but the server that we've got, every show we've ever produced is on that server because we've got unlimited storage, so we can do that. Everything is on there. There is shows that you can go back to from 4 years ago. They're still on that server. We've got unlimited bandwidth, so we can get as many downloads as we want out of it, all thanks to UK2. You get money back as well. So if you want to buy any domains, then go to britishnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and when you see the UK2 logo, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff on there that's 20% off domain names. No one gives you that kind of stuff, and they're already competitive prices to start with. So check them out. They'll save you a fortune. Their customer service is second to none. We get very few comments from anyone about customer service from there that are negative. It's all usually, you know, glad you told me about UK2, signed up with them. They're absolutely brilliant. Thanks for the punt forwards for them. So please check them out. They're absolutely wonderful. And the Network Union are the people that you want to go and talk to as well if you're a broadband business customer in the UK. What they do is you still maintain your relationship with BT Broadband. That's no question. That's just the same. You pay them the same amount. You have the same contract with them. What the Network Union can do is make sure that you're paying for the right service that you get from these people. They can make your local WAN or LAN work correctly as well. And they've expanded their market now. They used to do huge corporations. Now they're doing small SME stuff as well. So even if it's just a one-man band who've got business broadband at £55 a month in there, give the Network Union a call and they will come and support you. They'll give you that extra layer of support. And you won't be paying any more because the relationship you got with BT is exactly what you've currently got. They are just an extra layer of support. Send them an email, go to their site, use the link through from the sponsors page again with us. And when you give them your email address, they use it to call you back. How innovative is that? They don't store it. You don't get another advertising email or anything like that. They just use it for the purposes of contact. And I've got to say, Robert has been a very, very strong supporter of the network. He's fulfilled our sponsorship of our Patreon thing. They give us $85 a month on their own, on top of all the stuff of the fact that they provide all the pipes into the live studio here. So please support them because they support us again, same as UK2.net. The Patreon subscription as well, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/British Tech Network, and give us $1 a month if that's what you think we're worth. If you listen to all the shows and you think 60p is worth the price, then go for it. Give it to us. We got a pile of stuff through last month. Thank you very much. That's all been put towards some new equipment, and it bought live stream, which we're now streaming out on. And because I've got a second computer doing the relay on, it means we're a lot smoother and things aren't dropping out, and Doc's going to actually not crap out before the end of the show this week. And that's all from the Patreon stuff. It costs us money. We all have to pay out for things, for the studio, for the bandwidth, for the servers, etc. And anything that you can do to support us is most welcome. And the other thing that we've got going off, which you've got to come to, is the Bash. Yes, the British Tech Bash is taking place in Birmingham on the 11th and 12th of July. The 11th is a curry night. It starts at 5 o'clock. We're going to be in the Kismet Curry House, the best curry house in the world. Most definitely. And you can go and drink beer and eat starters, and then we'll have a sit-down meal, and it'll be a whole night long. It's also my son's birthday, so if you come in, please bring him a card, because his dad cocked up booked the bash on the weekend of his birthday. What an arse I am. Give them a sort out, and it'll be great. It'll be loads and loads of fun. If you go to britishsetnetwork.com/bash tickets, you can order your tickets there. There's a PayPal card, stick them in. 25 quid per person. Under 16 is a free of charge, but it's not a ticket event. Like, you know, you're not coming to Glastonbury or something like that. What it is you're chipping in your proportion of what you're going to take from the day and what other people are going to take. So it's everyone communing together to make sure we've got enough money to cover the costs. The venue itself costs me 400 quid each year, and we've got beer and food, but everything's provided. So when you turn up, you don't have to pay anything else. It's all there. The curry ticket is just a deposit against it, and you'll get that back off your bill at the end of the night. And it's Batwench's 40th birthday as well. So I'm sure there'll be plenty drunk there. And Batwinch, I know, has already bought her tickets. We've only got 200 tickets for the bash, and we've only got 80 tickets for the curry. So they're going a steady pace at the moment. We've only been up since Tuesday with them. So do watch out. If you want your ticket, please get it. And I'd like, just as a request, please get your ticket as soon as possible. Not because of the fact we want to hold on to your money and make a fortune off the interest. It's because of the fact we're committed on the 11th of June to the venue and the caterer. So at that point, we are out of pocket by quite an amount of money, up in the region of £1,000. And if we haven't got enough sales in, I think we'll get enough sales because we've always grown every year, but I've got to make that payment at that point. So please, you know, it's just a collection of money so that we can all get the fun of the day. It's not meant to be an event in that sense. So I'd appreciate it if you can get your ticket sooner rather than later. Right. Here we go. It's time for the cool thing. This is where we pick something that's cool from anywhere across the net. Go on.
Dave, did you do a story or did I fall asleep during it?
Did I do a story?
No, I didn't. That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
Everybody else's stories.
It's not okay. I thought you did a story, Dave. I do apologize, man. What's your story?
Well, you know, I had a couple, but the one that seemed to be the most fitting and certainly will generate the most vitriol toward me is mentioning that Google Glass, you know, we talked about privacy and getting things deleted from Google, but the entire population of the U.S. could now buy Google Glass. It is no longer reserved for those that have been invited.
I used a Google Glass at Macworld and I couldn't get it to work.
Yeah, it's a funky thing, right? But you've probably heard the stories about how Glass has been met with a lot of resistance by people. And I think part of that resistance is just people not understanding what it is. If I wore Google Glass here in my town, I would be the only one wearing it. Most people wouldn't even have any idea what it was. When I got to San Francisco, when we went for the Mac 30th thing, my wife came with me and there were several people there wearing it. And she says to me, she says, "What is that? Is that Google Glass?" Oh yeah, that's right. She's just never seen it before. So in that sense, I think it's actually pretty good that Google's opened it up for everyone, because now there's no longer this artificial barrier. If you want it and want to spend $1,500, you can have it, and that'll be interesting to me.
It's $1,500. It's not come down. The general sales
still, yeah, it's still the same price. It's just you don't need an invite to do it.
And it's still the Explorer edition as well. So it's technically not officially the release version, the public version, technically.
That's right. Not technically. Correct. Correct. But it's the second Explorer edition, right? I mean, it's the current, edition.
Is it still US only?
It is still US only. Yeah.
But you could use the servers like Reship if you wanted to do something like that.
Yeah, but will it connect when it gets over here?
Well you're only connecting it to your phone, right?
Oh, okay. So you're not connected to the internet direct through any, because if you did you can connect. Surely it does connect to your home Wi-Fi.
No, it needs an Android phone, doesn't it?
Yeah, you need to go through a phone.
You can't go through a phone.
You can do it with an iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need the phone because the Glass doesn't actually have any of like the antennas or anything like that, or a SIM card slot or anything like that.
No.
Pair of glasses for half the price, like $700, called Meme. It will sense when you're falling asleep when you're driving, and buzz your phone to wake you up. So maybe that's all you need, and you save half your money.
Is that all it does? Because it's going to be a hell of a rival for $700 at that.
Yeah, I know. That when I saw that, I thought, what a great idea! I could use that driving home from gigs or whatever. $700, and it's going to buzz my phone. I want that thing to shock my head, wake my ass up.
You can only do it once.
Buzz my phone. What the hell's that going to do?
I've only fallen asleep once at the wheel in 30 years, so, I mean... mind you, I guess if you do it once, it's enough.
That's enough. Oh, yeah, I'm petrified of it driving home from gigs.
Windrider in the chat says, if it uses Bluetooth, you and screwed. Bastard.
Yeah, that's right.
It's got to be an Android phone or a tablet, nothing else. Right, okay. So that's it then. No one else is going to buy it.
I know. I'm right in the queue there.
Have you ordered one?
No, I've not ordered one. But I am right in the queue when it becomes available as a sort of a public consumer thing, because I would love one. I will be right there. But the problem I've got is that if I'm going to drop a grand and a half, I want some sort of guarantee that I don't need to then drop another £800 when the proper one comes out next month or something.
They were pretty good about that, right? When they switched, when they updated from the Explorer first edition to second or A to B, whatever they called it. I mean, they let everybody just send their stuff in and you know, they sent you a replacement, no charge.
Mm. No, I'd love the idea of it. I can't wait for that kind of stuff to come in. I really want contact lenses though, because I wear glasses. So if I could move to some kind of digital contact lens, that would be me sold.
Or have your prescription lenses inside Google Glass.
My issue with that is I don't really take care of my glasses. I'm kind of okay with my glasses kind of having to be replaced on a fairly regular basis. I'm not okay with a grand and a half's worth of equipment being replaced on a regular basis.
I'll buy it when it's D space out of Demon.
Yes, I'll buy
it then, and only then, never before that. I want to walk up to someone, I want it to tell me who it is, I want their Wikipedia page right in front of me, and I want to go, oh, Dave, how you doing, brother? Shake hands.
Yeah, I've avoided people in like supermarkets and things like that, because I knew I was going to have to introduce them to Kirsty, and I couldn't remember what their name was.
They won't, Google will not let apps like that exist.
They won't?
No,
yeah, well, that's the niche market.
Exactly.
That's the best use of glass, one of the best uses of glass I can think of. But people were, I think it will come. I just think the reason they've put this wall up now is because they were getting a lot of flack anyway about this thing having all these privacy concerns. And now it's recognizing me when I'm walking down the street. That's crazy. No, but absolutely, I would want that as a party. Otherwise, I'd never know who you guys were when I ran into you again.
I'm a dumptish from the drummer. you got your own back for me forgetting about your story, dude. All right, there we go.
I'll give you
that one. I'm sorry, sorry. I'm so sorry, Dave. I thought you'd read yours. I did honestly thought you'd gone. So
I did try to do it like subtly. I sent you a direct message.
We're hoping. I've sent an email to the Chinese lady that gave me a play with her Google Glass, and I haven't had a reply yet. But I'm hoping she's going to come on the Mac Show soon, because I met a Chinese tech journalist, and Google had given her a Google Glass for the week. And she let me have a play with it, and I completely screwed it up. Didn't work at all afterwards. So
I imagine it sort of learns your voice. And she was a very slight Chinese lady with a Chinese accent, and you're a big brummy bloke. You know, so it probably was kind of going, whoa, I have no idea what's just happened right now.
It was phased by the altitude. She did say that she got permission off Google to let other people try it, because some of them, they're paired to the person. It does a voice sample, and if it gets the wrong voice, it says, nah, sorry, and it switches off. It's one of the security features in case someone nicks it. So, thank you, Dave. Good story, mate.
Sure.
I do apologize.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Now it's the cool thing, and the cool thing is anything that's big from the world of tech for the week. It could be a gadget, it could be a YouTube video, it could be anything you damn well like. Who'd like to start us off?
Okay, I'll go.
Whoever's scrolling like a furious thing.
And a cool thing. My cool thing is this. You see that?
An Apple computer. It's
my brand new 15-inch MacBook Pro Retina that I just received yesterday.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear.
It's technically not mine. It's one of these fun things because My job is I go to different companies and I kind of work there for 6 to 9 months. And the most awesome part about that is every new company I arrive at, they always buy me a brand new laptop whenever I start, and I get to take it home.
Have you got to give it back though?
Yeah, I've got to give it back at the end, but then I just have a couple of months where I sit about in my underwear doing nothing. And then I go back and do another contract somewhere else and they get me another brand new MacBook. But I've never had a 15-inch Retina before. And this is like the top spec, top... I don't know why. All I sit and do is draw wireframes of apps and websites. So I don't really see why I need...
You'd be quite happy on a 50. On a black MacBook.
Yeah, well, all I really need, to be fair, is a pile of A4 paper and a Sharpie. You know, I mean, I can do 90% of my job with that.
Shh, don't tell
me. But they give me this amazing... And it is... amazing. I mean, my previous contract, I had a 13-inch MacBook Retina, and it was just kind of the base model, low spec. But this is the all signal dancing thing, and it is sweet. I absolutely love it. I've only had it for probably, I got it yesterday, so I'm just over 24 hours with it, and it is lovely.
They are. I'm a joint venture customer with Apple. So basically, anywhere in the world, no matter where I am, I can walk into an Apple store. I type my name in, and I get the next Genius Bar appointment that's available. It's fantastic. And if they go, yeah, that's knackered, we need to repair it, I say, okay, fine. Have you got anything else? And they go, yeah, here you go. And they give me a light-for-light replacement that I can keep until it's repaired. And then when it is repaired, if I've come back home, they send the repaired item back to any Apple store that I want so I can go and trade it and pick it back up. 350 quid a year. Why are you not?
We're talking about that when we were over in San Francisco, and I need to do something.
And
about
you're
that,
but... still not a joint venture customer.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of those funny things that in my head I'm kind of going, well, I don't need it just now. And I know that's ridiculous because the whole point in it is that you get it for when you do need it. But
the thing is, you can add 10 people to it.
Yeah.
So why don't you add all of us to yours?
Yes. Yeah. Come on, go.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
We'll talk after the show.
There you go.
That's $35 a pop.
$35 each. There we go. You see it, man.
And people, you're adding
every minute.
No, but you can. So Kirsty can have her phone checked and that kind of stuff, and Morgan can have her stuff on there. Anyone with an Apple ID can be added to it. So. Well worth it.
I do need to do something about that, but yeah. So my cool pick is this gorgeous laptop, and it is properly gorgeous. I love it.
Excellent, good. I've got to say, I had them. They gave me a Retina MacBook Pro, and my logic board failed in the normal, and I fell in love with it. It was superb. It rendered video really, like
really nice.
I'm going to wait, but I'm not. I need a new one, but I'm not buying one till after WWDC. So.
Well, I was actually considering, I was waiting to see if I actually got, because some places don't, and I have to take my own kit in, and I was waiting to see what happened with this one, and I was going to go and have a look at either one of these, or based on the Air that you bought. So it was you got kind of the top spec, Air just before we went to
top end 11-inch Air.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that, because I think, again, because I can do 90% of my job up, I lay A4 paper and a Sharpie, I don't really need the, you know, the crunch power. And so that was probably going to do me, but I'm not even using this 5% of its capabilities, and it is just lovely. It is opening Facebook like a dream.
Yeah. the thing is, you saw all of the Macworld videos were rendered and produced and posted off my MacBook Air. It handles Final Cut just fine. And everyone said, oh no, you don't want an Air because it doesn't do Photoshop very well. It eats Photoshop for breakfast, and it even does Final Cut. It's not as fast as my 15-inch MacBook Pro, but it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. Good one. Excellent pick, mate. I, having had one of those, I thoroughly recommend it. Who else has got something?
I just got something that I waited for a little bit. It's from a company called Fingham, and it's known as the Blink One MK2. Now, what this is, I stuck it in this cable so it's easier for you to see, but this is a little USB LED thingy that goes off based on various criteria I set up with, like, IFTTT. So, for instance, this is just it on being white, doesn't do anything, but I can go into... Like right now I have it set up so when the Gmail comes in, it kind of does something that looks similar to this. I am simulating this by hand right now, but it blinks red and white. Somebody throws something into the Dropbox, I have it blink blue and white. I have it give me a different set of blinks at the first pitch of a Red Sox game, so I know I need to quit work and go turn on the TV. You can have it do things like when someone sends you a notification on Twitter or you get a new follower, or like I got a DM today. I was nowhere standing next to my computer, but I got a DM from Wheatley, and from all the way across the room, I could see this dang thing blinking, and it lets me know, hey, go check your Twitter, you know? And so it's kind of cool because I'm not a person who stares at email all day. I like to keep it closed as much as possible, but I have certain triggers set up for various people that when they send an email, I get a different kind of blinky. So it sort of notifies me of things that are going on, and you can set it up for all type of weirdness. But yeah, it's a pretty cool little, I guess it's like an alert device. This was a Kickstarter project.
I was going to say, they vastly exceeded their amount.
Yeah, they killed it. They really killed it. And this is the second version. So this is kind of cool, and this is fun, you know, chalk it up to the weirdness or the Internet of Things kind of stuff. But it's by a company called Thingam, and this is the Blink 1 MK2. It's a cool little bugger.
It is. How much is it?
See, you asked me that while I didn't check that out. Let me check again.
Okay.
$30.
$30.
How much is it? Was it 30?
$30, yeah.
$30 pre-order for the Mark II.
What's it compatible with?
Anything. So you plug it into USB port, you have it for Mac and Windows, Linux, various versions of Linux, Raspberry Pi, the whole nine. It also comes with a handy Unabobine style, like gooseneck USB cable, so you can mount it. So what I do is I have it peeking out right behind my screen on the Mac. I love like the cash registers where you can spin the price thing around. So I normally pop it in the end of this thing, so I can literally see this thing glowing from halfway across the room. So when I'm not at my computer, I can see that things are going on with it. So it's kind of cool.
Have you ever watched the Deaf Man sketch on Not the 9 o'clock News?
No.
You need to watch that on YouTube. The Deaf Man sketch on Not the 9 o'clock News. And it's a brilliant, brilliant video. And they had a bloke with one of those little tiny lights, and it was on a cord that looked like that USB cord that you've just picked up. And it was mounted on his head, and it came out. And it had a light that flashed on the end. And it started off, the video showed it, and it said, "This man is deaf. He can't hear the phone ring. What we've invented is this fantastic device that allows him to do it." And you saw this light go on, and you're sitting there going, "Holy crap, that's so simple. Why hasn't someone thought of that before?" And then he picks the phone up and goes, "Hello? Hello? Hello?" You've got to watch it. Not the 9 o'clock News. If you're American, you've never seen it, you've got to Google Not the 9 o'clock News on YouTube, because it's brilliant. Superb.
It's on. I'm making myself a mental note at the moment.
That's the last thing we're going to hear from Doc tonight. Dave, what did you have for us, mate? What's your cool thing?
Well, since you almost forgot my story, I'm going to break the rules on the cool thing and talk about something that arrived today that's so cool that I can't not talk about it. A listener actually made me a guitar out of a cigar box. Up. Yeah. And it's got a pickup in it and a little jack on the back. And I haven't plugged it into an amp yet, but I played it. It's awesome. He sent me he made me a little slide.
It's four strings.
It.
Is it a bass?
It's a four string. It's a cigar box guitar. So it's a four string guitar.
Oh, you got to give us a few notes, mate. Come on.
Well, I got to do something with it, I guess. I don't know. I don't have the slide right here. So. Or something like that.
And that's a cigar box.
It's a cigar. It's actually a cigar box. Wow. Yeah. There's a
thing on Make Magazine to show you how to do that. I picked up from Brooklyn Morris, and it looks like exactly the idea from Make Magazine. I'll find you the link.
That is amazing.
He makes them. It's Black Lung Guitars is his thing, but he sent it to me. He was like, "I want to make you a guitar. I love your show." And so it showed up today. So I'm so excited about it. In fact, I agreed to do this show, even though I'd rather be upstairs plugging it in and playing it. So.
Oh, mate. And I passed you over in your story. I did go dig a little harder. I'm sorry, but that is so cool.
It's so cool.
That's right up there with the blinking light and the Retina MacBook Pro. Yeah. Righty, top that, you bastard.
There's no way, mate. But then at the point I thought this would be a good thing, I'm going to show it to you, and it's going to be impossible because it's a game I play with my daughter. And you can probably see it there. It's a game called Duel. D-U-A-L for iOS. And it's a really simple little game where it's kind of like Flappy Birds, but I paid money for a comedian. What you meant to do, I almost did it then, is you have a dual control where you have two little balls and they kind of float around a maze, and you've got to kind of navigate between things. But the graphics and the music are so amazing. And I don't normally pay for games. I actually forked out $1.99 for this today. But if you just want to really, and as you would say, the morning motion game, it's almost the most perfect morning motion game in the world. Because it's got like really relaxing music. So when you go up in the morning and think, oh, I really can't give a stuff about going to work today, it really gets you in the mood to kind of chill out and just kind of use your brain a bit, get things going. But yeah, it's $1.99 at the moment. And it came out before Flappy Birds, so it's not actually a copy of Flappy Birds. They probably nicked the idea from them. But a really good kind of... The great thing with iOS apps, I think, is the simplicity of them. And this is kind of one of the most simple apps that I've ever seen. And it's just a great little game.
Excellent, mate. Cost?
$1.99.
I thought you said
that. No in-app purchases or anything like that. $1.99, it's all yours.
Excellent. Good pick, mate.
I have another thing just to add to the end of it. There's been a video floating about the Twitters and in the chat room while we've been...
No, on. Don't mention that video. Not Bad Wenches video.
What?
Bad Wenches made...
Oh, no, don't mention that video. Jab
videos. Of myself, Paul Wright, Ewan, Jeff Gamet, and Kelly Gamont doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, so what?
I am playing it as we speak.
It's interesting, shall we see.
Jeff!
Oh, no.
Here we go. Here we go. Hang on.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting.
It's the bit where Gabbit appears is one of the best bits.
Stuart's Ewan's corset.
It's just a jump to the left. With your hands on your hips.
Happy Halloween. Jesus, that's been around for a while.
That's outstanding.
That went, thank you. That was outstanding. That was superb. That's excellent. I want to know where she got the picture of me in the suspenders, because I only do that at weekends. Michael thing is in this black bag. Ooh. Okay. And this black bag has got something in it that I am floored at how they've managed to produce this thing, but never mind. So here you go. You take it out, and there's a whole pile of stuff in here. But what it is a shoulder support for a camera. You can put a monitor on it or something like that. It's actually for aerial vehicles, for flying. But you open it out, and there you go. It's a clamp. And you put it on your shoulder, and then you tighten it up. And you put your camera on the front here. You can put a camera here if you've got like a little eyepiece on a loop or something like that. Or you can put something that's there and you can move it backwards and forwards. Look, you see? There we go. And what it also has then is another clamp that fits on the front that supports something different. And what's fallen on the floor, which I'll get back, hang on, is a strap. And what you do with this strap is you strap it onto it and it comes round under your arm pits and it clamps on here. Yep. So that means that you can actually let go with your hands and your camera will stay up here. It won't move. It's absolutely lock solid. And all you've got to do is line it up like a gun and you can point and there you go. You can two hands to use the controls as opposed to one which is holding the camera and the other that's moving the thing. Yep. There we go. That's it.
Bronwyn's asking in the chat room, does that irritate the nipple area?
I haven't had it on long enough to find out, but I'm hoping so.
Yeah. Surely that's a positive thing. Yeah.
Right, how much?
Cool.
How much to irritate your nipple area?
Well, no, that's a different thing. That's £50 an hour normally. But
that's all it costs you?
Per hour, yeah. per hour.
You must get a bulk discount.
What are you saying? I got big nipples. Right. Stop pissing around, Hamilton, just because I missed your story.
That's right. That's right.
And give me. It's spring loaded as well. That thing there looks spring loaded. You say, come on, give me a price. How much do you think this is cost?
Is that where the saying sixpence none the richer come from pitching your nipples?
Can we leave the nipples alone?
No. That's sort of the idea.
Let's get back to my pick. How much is my pick? Chat room, come on. How much is my pick? There you go. It's a shoulder mount for a camera, and it's brilliant, and it's got a strap, and it works, and it you can let go of your camera, and it stays up.
$38.
$38.
£90.
$20.
What?
$20.
$38.
I got two for $38. I got two for $40. And I'm going to give one away next month because I bought one for the giveaway for Patreon. That is a shoulder mount, and you can put anything that's got a 3/8 mount on it. So you can put a camera on it, or you can put a monitor on it, you know, a little tiny monitor if you fly your aeroplanes and that kind of thing. But there you go. It's a shoulder-mounted clamp with a strap that pins it on, and you can just let go of it. And £150, says Graham in the chat room. £99, says Batwinch, and Bronwyn says £157. But then Bronwyn's American, and she thinks that's probably about $20. So there you go.
You know, if you were a pirate and you got a parrot and attached it to that...
As long as the parrot's arse is 3/8, you're fine.
Sorry?
As long as the parrot's arse is 3/8...
Yeah, and
fine.
So you put the parrot on there, then you stick a video camera inside the parrot, and you've got a kind of ye olde version of Google Glass.
I will do it. I will do it at the bash. I will be walking around with a live parrot with a 3-inch thread up its arse and a Google camera in its beak at the bash. There we go. If you come. Doc's never coming on again.
I'm just losing it thinking about stuffing the GoPro in a parrot.
No, that would be inhumane. The 3/8 thread's at least small.
Your nipples, though? I missed that.
Can we leave the nipples? $20. That's available from Hobby King, and it's a monitor mount. HobbyKing.com. I don't like Hobby King because they're if you get something that's faulty, that's it. You're just stuck with it. Stuff it. They're crap at that kind of stuff. But I bought that, and it's good. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc Rock?
I can be found at Doc Rock on Twitter and just about everything else. And you can find me on Tuesdays and Wednesdays on TUAW for Ask Tua and Tua TV Live. Good Doing man. The same thing, coming on the camera and just making an ass out of myself.
Good lad. You'll fit right in on this network. Windrider says, is that the Go Parrot? Very good.
Parrot drone.
A screw-on parrot. There we go. We might have a title. Mr. Hamilton, where are you, sir?
You can find me at Dave Hamilton on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else, and every week at MacGeekGab.com.
Excellent, mate. And I do hope you come back on the big show, despite the fact
that I would love to. Mate. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, good man. We've been remiss in not having you on sooner, definitely.
Yeah.
Waiters, where are you, boy?
You can find me on The Gamer Show on this network. Every other Monday, but the show's normally out on a Tuesday. Pocket Show on this network, and for anybody listening to the Pocket Show, I would just like to apologise. The audio quality was a little bit poor this week. We had a few issues, so hopefully you'll see past that to the next show, but we're normally fortnightly, again on a Monday night, released on a Tuesday. You can find me on a variety of different shows on this network as well, but you can get me on Twitter at Paul Wheatley.
Excellent, mate. Pocket Show's a great show. You've got to have a listen to that if you're a phone user or tablet user. And Righty Boy...
Hello, mate. Paul is on Twitter, and always the best place on the internet, BritishTechNetwork.com.
And starting a Windows show for us imminently.
Oh, is that in the bag? Oh, there we go.
There we go. No. It was a secret last night. I did the tease last night. I've done that's the release tonight. It's out there.
I've released early.
Starting our Windows show soon. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show, and then we've got TJ Manatok tomorrow from the Philippines, who's a big Mac fanboy, and then we'll be back again with the big show next Thursday night as normal. Have a great week, and thank you for listening.
Good night.
Bye.
Oh man, that works okay.
Yeah. I got to go. My ride for my next thing is actually sitting out my window. But thank you so much for having me.
You get chauffeured everywhere.
Uber, man.
Holy crap. Good to be Dave. Dude, I want to be you.
Where do we get that?
It'd be great having you on. Thanks. 16.